Good morning, New Day, and good morning, live stream. Everybody say hi. My dad is in there today. Now, as you notice, because he's in there, I am not Pastor Aaron. Praise Jesus. Some of you are thinking right now, we might actually get out on time today. But in all seriousness, I am Preston. I am Pastor Aaron's son. Most of you know me, or at least know of me. But just some background, I have been going to New Day since 2006. I have some family hiding in the middle here. There's my wonderful grandparents, and then in the back, my beautiful wife, brother, and his fiance. And my baby's hiding in the wiggle room, so if you want to say hi to her, she's back there. I'm not a pastor, obviously. I'm not normally up here, but I do love Jesus, and I do love to talk. So I have some stuff to say today. You might not know that, though, just from seeing me at work. I'm an applications developer, so I write mobile apps, I write websites, I do back-end stuff, databases, all of it, and I have a lot of fun with it. But I work for Carroll University, a university in Waukesha, and that's 3 hours south of here. I don't drive 3 hours both ways every day. I work fully remote. So every morning I wake up around 5:30 a.m. Wow, it's because I have a baby. I shower, I eat, I do some chores, and then I go and sit quietly in my basement for 8 hours. Honestly, though, I do love it. The magic of coding is that it's pretty much just problem solving. I get a problem from my employer. They tell me, we need this solved. We need this to happen. And using some pretty powerful tools, I make it happen. I usually know what I'm doing. I usually have an idea of where I'm going. But when I don't, I have a full internet of official and unofficial sources, community-made stuff that I can read that tells me this does this and this does this, so I can put it all together. It's wonderful. It is clear. It is well-documented. Everything that I need to do. Obviously, some things can go wrong, but even when I have problems, there's usually one or two people on the internet who've had the same problem and shared their solution. Wouldn't it be easier if we had clear instructions like that for everything? Imagine life gets stressful and you crack open the instruction booklet and you find the page on how to get a raise. Or making new friends, or healing sick family members. That would be great. Be wonderful. Now, some of you are probably thinking, I'm going to say, good news, that's the Bible. Unfortunately, I'm not going to say that. Not even the Bible is that straightforward. But God does offer us a different solution, and we can find it, of all places, in the Bible. Let's start with some prayer today. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to gather in your word, to gather in this group. It's wonderful seeing so many people here today, and I know that you're pulling even more people in through this live stream. I pray that this message can be your word to these people, not my own, and I pray that they can understand what is coming from this, what this means for them, and how to apply it in their lives, and I pray that you can give them the courage to be active in applying it, and to share with each other how they're growing. In your name I pray, amen. So we're gonna open up right away to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And you should probably see it up on the screen, and I know live stream you'll see it too. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Now, take note. They're talking about this guy right in front of him. Like, he can hear what they're saying. It's not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread it over the blind man's eyes. What? He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. That's neat, but pause for a moment. Why did he rub muddy spit in the guy's eyes. If we flip to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we read, "Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus," which just means the son of Timaeus, "was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, son of David is a term used in Old Testament prophecies to refer to the Messiah, the foretold warrior king who is going to free Israel from their oppression. People said, "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus heard him, and he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Same people that were just telling him to be quiet. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. This man is still blind. Jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus said, as he looks into Bartimaeus' blind eyes. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now, what is different between these two miracles? There's no mud in the second one. No direct contact recorded at all. Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was and what he could do. He heard Jesus, and he recognized him, and he was calling him. The other blind man might have known who Jesus was, but we don't have any record that he did. We don't have any record of him even saying something before Jesus rubbed the spit mud in his eyes. But what was the same between the two men? In one word, faith. One had faith enough to call for help, and the other had faith enough to trust the process. Did Jesus ever tell the first man that he was going to restore his sight? Not that we know of, but that guy still let him rub mud in his eyes, and instead of wiping it off, because that's gross and weird, he trusted him and went and washed in the pool of Siloam and came back seeing. No promises beforehand, but he trusted. He had faith that this rabbi, who people were talking to, was doing something important. Now, faith is a word I'm sure you've all heard before. It is a popular church word, but the way that we use it, it's kind of become Christianese. Snarky term to refer to the language that Christians use and understand, but most other people around you don't. They just don't get it. Words like fellowship and sin, the gospel, Messiah, born again, and faith. So if I were to hop on Google Translate and translate faith from Christianese to English, what kind of things would I see? If we hop into the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible describes it like this. "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." On first read, did that make sense to anyone? For me, it took 3 or 4 times going through that same thing to just kind of get the gist of what they're going for. But I'm a language nerd, and this is one of my favorite things about the Bible. So the New Living Translation is really, really great for making the Bible readable, but it's not always the best for making the Bible make sense. And when I want something to be more clear to me, I often turn to the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is a translation that considers the original text, and instead of just translating it to the closest thing in English and moving on, it amplifies words, essentially translating them in the text, like explaining like a dictionary, so that you get the original intention as clearly as possible. For example, if we were to look at the 4 words for love in ancient Greek, there are 4 different words, 2 of them used especially in the New Testament. And if you were to translate all of those in the New Living Translation, you translate them to love and you move on. So the nuance of fatherly love versus familial love is lost. But if you have the Amplified Bible, it will translate it to love and follow it up with a contextual explanation of what that love is, so that you understand the meaning that the authors are trying to give that is normally lost in translations like the NLT. So if we open up again to Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation." So it's something that we have of things hoped for or divinely guaranteed. Now I want to point out right here that the Amplified Bible is making a connection between the things that we hope for and the things that God is guaranteeing, which is just something implied in the original text that we lose in our regular translations. So starting from the beginning, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for or divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. I really like that. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. People often ask Christians how you can know that something is real if you can't see it, you can't touch it. It's a hard answer to give, but the Bible says it right here, faith. Faith is how you know. Now, if we were to reread that explanation one more time, because comparing translations in the Bible is awesome, and I encourage all of you to do it. If you have the YouVersion app, you can tap on a verse and click compare, and it'll bring up a bunch of different versions of that same verse. You can do multiple verses at a time. You can choose the translations you like. I recommend you give it a shot sometime. But if we were to do the same thing and look at a paraphrase, this is if you really want to get readable, I recommend The Message. It takes the Bible and puts it in today's words, which can be jarring. It's a little weird at first, but it's really helpful in getting ideas across, which is the goal of The Message. So Hebrews 11:1, again, says, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see." Which brings up an important question. If faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living, what makes life worth living? We go back over those verses again and just summarize what they tell us about faith, the same verse in different translations. It says, faith is a trust in God. Faith is our evidence that he is real, even though we cannot plainly see him. And faith is the assurance or reality of what we hope for. Notice here that it doesn't say that faith guarantees we get what we want. Even Jesus didn't always get what he wanted. He did ask not to die on the cross. He did ask not to suffer. That's not how it works, though. Faith is not the magic band-aid to make everything better. Now, let's go back. We remember that the Amplified Bible connected our hopes and God's divine guarantees. So I read this as meaning that faith aligns our hopes with God's will. And if faith can do that, you can make a pretty compelling argument that God's will and his promises, God's will and God's promises are the everything that makes life worth living. We go back to the two blind men who received their sight at the beginning of this, message. We already established that they had faith. They trusted Jesus even when things got weird. They were confident that he was real, that his actions had purpose, even though they had never actually seen him before. Blindness aside, this is the first time they've encountered him. And while their faith led to the restoration of their sight, God's will didn't end there. In John 9:3, right at the beginning again, Jesus says that the man was blind so that the power of God could be seen through him. If you keep reading after he's healed, you see that God uses this man time and time again to reach out to his community, to share the love of God with his family, with the people who have seen him begging on the streets before blind, and to start something in the hearts of the Pharisees. faith might not be the perfect instruction booklet that I stated at the start that we would love to have, but it is a perfect instruction to follow. If you start by trusting God with your struggles, while there's no guarantee that he'll do what you want, it's not a magic band-aid, your faith can help you understand that whatever he does do, there's a plan. The best part being that through your faith, as your hopes align with his will, you can be a part of that plan. So I want everybody to take some time to look inwards for a bit. What does that mean for you? Now, everybody who's got those papers in front of them, this is a great time to look at the I will statement section. Do you need to start taking some steps to build a relationship of faith with God? If you already have that relationship of faith, do you need to start stepping out of your comfort zone to make your hopes and God's will line up? Make that a reality? I'm not a public speaker. I could talk your ear off in a one-on-one. My wife can attest to that. But I'm up here. I never would have chosen to come up here on my own. I like to say to myself when I'm getting stressed out about this kind of thing that I'm a speaker by obligation, not by choice. But I have the hope that I will see this church of people grow in their faith. I have the hope that I will see them reaching out to this community, learning to trust God. And if I need to come up here and be uncomfortable to make that a reality, that's a step out in faith that I'm going to take. For you guys, that could be something like signing up for New Day's Backyard Missions. That's coming up soon. What's the date, Heidi? Rachel? There we go. step out and do that. It's going to take vacation time, and that's not an easy thing to give up. But that could be your step out in faith. Youth in this room and in the Wiggle Room, become a part of our youth group. Become a part of our Bible study. Discovery Bible study is not necessarily the easiest thing, but it is really great for getting to understand the Bible and what it's saying to you. That's Wednesday nights, 6:30, every other week. Youth group's next week. Week after that is Bible study. We have snacks. Could be trusting God more with your finances so you can feel comfortable or uncomfortable, but still doing it, giving generously. Or it could be humbly seeking help for an addiction that's tying you down and pulling you away from your family. Things that are hard to do, uncomfortable to do, to admit to yourself, but trusting God and aligning your hopes with his will. Just like the two blind men, faith works differently for everybody, but it's unified by a trust in Jesus and steps of discomfort, resulting in our hopes aligning with his will. Imagine the impact that we could have as a church, not just as New Day, but as the entire church of Christ. If we're willing to take these uncomfortable steps, knowing that God has a plan and that we can be a part of it. I could see our students in New Day growing stronger in our youth group with more examples of great Christian faith to look up to. I could see other churches in the area following our example of community outreach as we see the impact of backyard missions grow. God is doing things in this church. He's doing things in his capital C church. He has big ideas for the world, but without faith, you can't see it. You're blind to it. But if we place our trust in Jesus, if we actively participate in the opportunities that he presents us with, line our hopes up with his will, we'll see what he's doing. We'll see which way to turn when we don't know what the next step is. Told you I'd get you guys out early. God, thank you for this opportunity to come to hear your word again today. I pray that you can help encourage this group of people as well as your entire church to take steps of discomfort, knowing that they are the way that you want them to go. And I pray that you can help line up our hopes with your will so that we can feel the excitement that you have for the growth of your kingdom and the expansion of your love to the people around us. I pray that you can help this church to grow, to be confident. I pray that Backyard Missions is exciting and powerful time for the people in this church, for the people that we're reaching, for the community that's looking at us. Thank you for your love and for the opportunity to gather together safely and freely the way that we can. We love you, and we cannot wait to hear what else you have for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you.